Bible reading from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about how we should relate to God as our Heavenly Father and how we should learn to trust Him to give us good things. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Oh, loving Father, we thank you indeed for Jo as she prepares to give the message. Oh, Father, we just ask that you will give her clarity of thought and mind as she speaks to us. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit may take those words and touch and challenge us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Morning. Trusting God when the world is falling apart around us, when someone we care about is involved in a major car crash, when you get diagnosed with a serious illness, if you lose your job, when bad things happen to good people, how do we trust God? These words that Jesus spoke, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. These are God's promises, and God always keeps his promises. We can take him at his word. So why do we struggle with believing these promises? Why do we struggle with believing him when he tells us that when we ask, we'll receive? Why do sometimes our prayers apparently go unanswered? How do we learn to trust God? So we're going to start off with looking specifically at why we don't receive when we ask. So sometimes it's as simple as we forget to ask. Now, next week is Taryn's birthday. Now, she's been writing out her birthday list for months. In fact, since Christmas, she has written. I've lost track as to which particular draft this is, but every week she comes out with a new list of what she wants for her birthday. I don't think anyone can accuse her of not asking for her birthday presents. I don't think we've got any excuses. And I'm sure that, and I hope that she'll be delighted next week when she opens up her presents. But quite often, we forget to ask God for things. And some of that is just taking things for granted. For instance, our health, our jobs, a good home, our lunch today. We take these things for granted and we forget to ask God for them. We forget to acknowledge that all things come from God, and we need to learn to thank God for his blessings. And we often simply forget to involve him in our lives at all, because the God who is aware of the death of even a sparrow is surely interested in the little details of our lives. But if we don't ask, if we don't have that ongoing, involved relationship, that everyday walk with God, how can we receive? Sometimes we ask for the wrong reasons. Now, one of the items on Taryn's wish list is a phone. Now, I suspect the reason why she wants a phone is probably so that she can play games on it. And probably there's an element that actually Denisha and Barney have both got phones and she wants one because they've got one. I suspect probably they're not great reasons for her wanting to have a phone. There will be a time and a place when it's appropriate for her to have her phone, but not just yet. And sometimes I think we ask God for things for the wrong reasons. For instance, maybe we ask for him to bless us with a particular gift or a ministry, not so much that we can serve others, but maybe to bring glory to ourselves. So be careful about asking for things for the wrong reasons. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you get on your pleasures, from James. Maybe we ask for the wrong things. Also on Taryn's wish list is a violin. Last week, it was a guitar. The week before that, it was a saxophone. Now, I really don't want to discourage Taryn's musical aspirations, but I'm slightly reluctant to commit our eardrums to her learning something that actually she's not really decided that she's committed to. Maybe she's just asking for the wrong thing. Maybe a triangle would be a good idea. Now, Jesus says that a father wouldn't give his son a snake or a stone if he asked for bread or fish. Now, these days, it's relatively likely that a child might ask for a pet snake for their birthday. I think Taryn has had that on her list at some point. Thankfully, it didn't last the second cut. But I doubt a father would give his son a highly venomous coral snake, even if he asked for this. So God knows what is good for us. And sometimes we ask for things that, to our minds, are good things. But actually, God sees the bigger picture. He can see that actually they're not good for us. He knows what is good or bad for us. And the key to this is an awareness of what is in keeping with his will. This expression, in Jesus' name, is frequently used and sometimes misused. But in this context, it's all about loving each other and doing for others what you'd want them to do for you. So when our motives come from God and we're walking with him and we're aware of what his will is, then when we ask for anything in his name, he will give it to us. Sometimes we don't receive because we're not persistent enough. Now, the one thing that occurs on every single one of Taryn's wish list, birthdays, Christmas, whatever, is crisps. She is certainly persistent with her request for crisps. And because of this, I can pretty much guarantee that one of her presents next week will be crisps. It's an easy one. Now, Jesus tells the story about a widow who kept pestering a judge so that she could have justice. Now, initially, this judge refused, but her persistence eventually wore him down until he said, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me." So if an evil judge gives justice to the persistent widow, how much more will our heavenly loving Father give us good gifts if we're persistent? Sometimes we just have to keep on knocking. So what should we ask for? Should we just ask for our needs, or is it all right to ask God for the small things in life? Because Jesus teaches us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, and he makes it clear that we can and should ask for our daily needs. Does anybody know who this guy is? Very good, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, so this is George Muller. And in the 1800s, he set up, I think it was well over 100 schools and orphanages for the impoverished children in Bristol. Now, one of his main principles is that he would never ask another human for help. But instead, if he had a particular need, if he had to feed the children, he would take it to God in prayer, and God would miraculously provide for his needs. And by the time of his death, he'd received and redistributed over £1 million. Now, in today's equivalent, that's about £90 million that came purely from prayer. Now, in our Western culture, now most of us are quite a long way removed from not knowing exactly where our next meal is coming from. And often our prayer requests are for wants rather than for needs. But I believe that we can learn to trust God in the small things, the little things of life. And then when bigger issues and needs arise, we're already in the habit of trusting him. Now, many of you will know that myself and my family, we've just come back from a holiday in Western America, and I couldn't resist putting at least one holiday photo up for you. This is of the Grand Canyon, and we visited the Grand Canyon fairly early on in our trip. I think it was day three. We had a great day out. We rented some bikes, and we explored the South Rim, got the bus back to our campsite, sorting everything out. I could not find my phone. It was gone. And the only thing I could think is that either I dropped it somewhere along the South Rim or on the bus back to the campsite. Now, these days, obviously, a phone is far more than just a method. Honestly, David, it is more of a method than just phoning people. Honest. It had all my photos on it. I had our trip itinerary, it had the emails of our bookings and our booking reference numbers, and also, for when I got Wi-Fi whenever we went to Walmart, it was a means of communicating with home by email to check if there were anything urgent that needed to be dealt with. So actually it was quite an important bit of kit for our trip. Now, this was late, there wasn't an awful lot we could do, so we took it to God in prayer, and I was very aware that the kids were praying about this as well. Well, to cut a long story short, I was reunited with my phone by 9 o'clock the next morning. Now, I don't know what the chances are of finding an expensive iPhone in a tourist spot like the Grand Canyon, but to me, it was a real answer to prayer. And not only was it an answer to prayer, but I think it was a real faith builder. Not just for myself, but for my kids who had been praying for the recovery of my phone. They could see that actually God was interested in the little things. A few years ago, our family went to watch the Paralympics when it was in London. And I was amazed with one particular group of athletes. These were the visually impaired runners. And each visually impaired athlete was teamed up with a sighted athlete, and they were attached with a wrist strap between them. And there was complete trust between these two athletes, so that when they just ran together. And I'd imagine that actually when they were first starting off training together, they probably had to learn just to walk together and how to trust each other. For me, I'd be terrified that the guy would trip me up or something. But they had to learn to work together in the small steps first, until by the end, they were able to sprint to the finish line. And like them, I think we can learn to trust God. We learn the secret of being content in every situation, and we can learn to build up our trust in God step by step. So what else can we ask for? In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus goes on to show us that forgiveness needs to be asked for and then received. He promises us that if we open the door to his knocking and asking him for forgiveness, we'll receive eternal life from him. And our asking is part of a developing relationship with God that begins by asking for his kingdom and his will to be done in our lives. We can also ask for gifts from God. It says in our passage today that God gives us good gifts. Not just any old thing, but good gifts. He gives us the best. And not only that, but he gives us sufficient so that our small contributions are enough. Whenever the Lord assigns us a difficult task, he gives us what we need to carry it out. John Wesley wrote, "Among the many difficulties of our early ministry, my brother Charles often said, 'If the Lord would give me wings, I'd fly.' I used to answer, 'If God bids me fly, I will trust him for the wings.'" Now, Forefront this year is focusing, as you're aware, on identifying and exploring our ministries and gifts. And I think there can be a bit of a misconception that a gift is something we have to produce by ourselves, that somehow it's our efforts are what counts. And the problem with that is that that can actually paralyze us with feelings of inadequacy. I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, I'm not skilled enough. Whether it's to be in prayer ministry, to serve, to teach, to lead, to encourage, to use the gifts that God's given us, whatever these are. But what is good enough, this self-imposed thing that we put on ourselves? How much time are we supposed to be spending in prayer by ourselves before we can offer to be part of the prayer ministry? Should we go to Bible college before we offer to serve as a preacher or a teacher or to teach the kids in Sunday school? Should we be an expert in apologetics before we become evangelists? And often it's our own false perceptions of what we think is enough, a sort of bar of what we think is acceptable. But then this bar becomes a barrier, a barrier, if you like. And if our own self-esteem tells us we're not good enough, then we're never going to take that first step to offer ourselves in God's service. Because God doesn't actually set a particular standard which he expects us to achieve before we serve him in that ministry. Well, he does, but that standard is perfection, which is unachievable without Jesus. Jesus is the one who fills in all of our inadequacies and completes us, who brings our standard up to perfection in the eyes of God, who can take our small offerings of what little we can bring to him and make it glorious in the kingdom of God. Now, in our passage today, Jesus refers to being given bread or being given a fish. And I think that was kind of deliberate because actually, if you look a few chapters further down, he takes a small offering of bread and fish that the boy brings to him and he multiplies it to feed 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people. Jesus took his small offering and multiplied it. And I think in the same way, he can take our small offerings to him and multiply them in an extraordinary way. And this is what Jesus means when he tells us to ask and it will be given to you. God longs for us to ask him for the desire to serve him, the passion for prayer, the love for his word, for wisdom. If we ask him for these things, he's promised to give them, and give them he will do abundantly. But I have to warn you, there's a health warning that comes with this, because God loves to give us these things. If we pray, give us love for your word, a love for prayer, he will do so. Gifts of the Spirit or gifts of grace are so called because they are exactly that. They are gifts from God that God gives to us, not something we generate ourselves. And they're gifts that then flow on from us to other people. Do to others what you'd have them do to you. So we come to God with very little, maybe just a wish to serve him, and then ask him to give us his gifts, and he will do so. He takes our not enoughs and does something incredible with them. Just look at the example of this guy. This is Moses. He's an absolute hero of mine. He's an absolute giant of faith. I mean, look what he did. He took a whole nation who were in slavery to a world-dominant power at the time, and he extracts this entire nation pretty much from underneath the noses of this military superforce, and then leads them out and takes them through a desert mountainous journey for the next 40 or so years. I mean, what an incredible guy. And then you get, at the very start of his ministry, this meeting with God, where he's got this burning bush that actually isn't burning up at all, it's just on fire, and he feels and he knows he's in the presence of God, and he's having a conversation with God. And this is what happens, and I'm just going to read from this passage from Exodus. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord, please send someone else." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and he'll be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him." So this incredible hero had this weakness, but God met Moses in his weakness and gave him what he asked for. God had given Moses an amazing job to do, but he didn't leave him without the resources to accomplish it. So when God gives us a job to do, a ministry, whatever it is, he will give us the ability and the means with which to do the job. Through affliction, the Apostle Paul discovered that "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So whatever our weakness is, God is sufficient and can and will meet our needs. Maybe your barrier is not knowing what your gift is. Well, ask God to give you a passion or a desire for something. Ask him to show you. Maybe your barrier is lack of time. Ask God to help you to prioritize. Maybe your barrier is low self-esteem. Ask God to complete you. God has given us a promise. He will give us what we ask for when in accordance with his purpose. We will find him when we seek him, and the door will be open for those who knock. He will not break that promise. Trust God, not just when the world is falling apart around us, but every day in little things, for everything.
Our next song picks up that theme of trusting God. We sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want." And it has a beautiful chorus to it. "And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone, for your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home." And as we sing this together, really let's say this to God, that we will trust him. Let's stand to sing.